Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board. Amen. And this is Communion Sunday, first Sunday of the month. We celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, and we also switch it up. So we do, instead of having a sermon, what we have is we're alternating between testimonies, questions and answers, and prayer. So this Sunday, it's prayer. Everybody say amen for prayer. That means we're going to actually pray. Amen? Amen? You excited?
Yes.
You excited to pray?
Yes.
Amen. You should be excited because there's a good reason to pray. So let me just share with you just briefly out of the Word so we can set this up. I love the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
I love the Bible because it is God's Word to us.
Amen.
Isn't that good to know? God cared enough to give us his word, to give us a message through his word.
Amen.
That has value. I want to share with you something that Jesus, how many have heard of Jesus? Amen? Amen. You can't always take that for granted, but you should know that here at Life Church, Jesus is important, and we're trying to follow Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus is a man who was born around 2,000 years ago, and the folks who he hung out with slowly discovered that he wasn't just a man. Amen? He was more than just a man. Turned out he was actually God who had become human for the purpose of helping us out. And the passage I'm going to read gives you a little taste of that. It's found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, and it reads, "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen? How many have heard that passage before? Amen. All right, so I just want to focus on that last paragraph. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, when a rabbi, Jesus was a rabbi, a Jewish teacher, when a rabbi talks about a yoke, of course, a yoke is something that you put on a pair of oxen so that they will do whatever they're going to do together, right? If they're pulling a plow or carrying a load, you put a wooden bar across them with a metal hoop underneath so that their necks are connected to each other. And that's what a yoke is. But when rabbis talked about a yoke, they meant their system of teaching. And so when they said, "Take my yoke upon you," and you took a rabbi's yoke upon you, you're effectively becoming his disciple. Okay? And Jesus is encouraging all you who are weary and burdened, right? Jesus looks around and he sees people with burdens, people who are weary. Amen? And he's got some good news for them. Right? He says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." If you take on my teaching, my way of life, okay, it's going to be good for you and you'll find rest for your souls. How many want rest? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right, so here's the thing. Jesus came, and for those of you, if anyone isn't aware, Jesus was crucified. He died a horrible death, okay, but then he rose from the dead. And was seen by the men and women that had followed him during his earthly life. And then he ascended to be with God the Father. And he sent the Holy Spirit in his place to guide the church. Amen? But the funny thing happens when Jesus has left the earth to be with the Father. Even though he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of his followers so that he would be guiding them. See, Jesus ascended, but Jesus didn't actually turn over running the church to anybody. Amen?
Amen.
See, Jesus relocated, but he didn't turn over running the church to anyone.
Come on.
But you know, we like to be helpful. So gradually, over a period of decades, we decided to help Jesus out by running the church for him. Okay? And when really smart and highly motivated people try to run the church, they develop rules. Okay, now I'm going to keep this brief because we're going to pray. But they develop rules. And when you have rules, the rules are the attempt to capture what Jesus said and did, okay, as in order to determine who's in and who's out. You think of it if you know, the mathematician would call this a bounded set. It's like, you know, here's the boundary, and if you're inside the borders, you're in. If you're outside the borders, you're out. Okay, my wife and I were traveled to Texas for half business trip, half vacation, and it happened to be at Brownsville, Texas, was where the airport was. So on the way back, we stopped. You know, we stayed on South Padre Island, but then we came back to Brownsville to go to the airport. And since it was right on the border with Mexico, I decided she hadn't been to Mexico, and I'd been years ago, but I'd never walked to Mexico. So we walked across the bridge to Mexico. And interestingly, as soon as I, you know, was across the bridge, I became aware of the fact that I was now outside of the boundaries of the United States, away from the Constitution and constitutional protection and all this other stuff. And then on the way back in, see, I could walk into Mexico really easy, okay? I didn't even have to go through customs and immigration. On the way back, there was a line. And I had to go, you know, wait to get in the door. And then at the door, they wanted to ask you some questions about why you were in Matamoros for just 20 minutes. Right? I wanted to get back in. I was out, and I needed them to let me back in. You get the idea. Bounded set, okay? But there's another kind of a set, okay? A centered set. A set that's defined by where is your arrow pointing? You can imagine Jesus at the center, and there's all the people in all over the world, 6 billion of us, and some of us, everybody's in motion. Everybody's moving all the time, doing this, doing that, doing the other thing. Some people are aimed at Jesus, and they're moving towards him. They might be miles away, but there's something they see, and they're heading for it. It's Jesus. Other folks seem like they're real close, but they're not particularly oriented towards him. They're kind of close because maybe they grew up in church, or you know, they like hanging out with Christians, or they like hanging out, you know, with God, they like gospel music, or whatever the reason, they're close, but they're not actually trying to aim at the center. Amen? And so what happens is when we set up rules to run the church by, you know, we create a bounded set. And then what happens is whoever's in is in, and whoever's out is out. And most of us who have had some church background are familiar with this idea of a bounded set, because then what happens is the whole idea of access to Jesus is only for the in people. You understand? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because we're getting ready to pray. And I want you to understand how we're going to approach this thing and how I hope you will help other people to approach this. Because what I'm going to say is that the church tradition I come from creates a worldview that says, you got to first check and make sure that people have actually jumped through all of the hoops necessary to become a Christian before we can, you know, encourage them to pray. Okay? I want you to know I'm letting that go. Okay? And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. I'm not letting go of the centrality of Jesus. I want everyone to follow Jesus. But because I want to follow Jesus, I want to try to do things the way Jesus did. Did you notice Jesus had a way of showing up with people that the folks in the in crowd felt were inappropriate? Jesus didn't care about whether they were in or out in other people's eyes. If he had an opportunity to connect with them, he wanted to connect with them. He encouraged them to connect. And so I want to encourage you. We're getting ready to pray. And I want to encourage you, wherever you're at in your spiritual life, here's an opportunity to come to Jesus, all you who are weary and burdened, heavy laden. He wants to give you rest.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. And the beauty of the good news, you know, again, when we do sort of traditional church, what happens is we say that we're offering good news, but the reality is what we actually have for people is bad news. But we package it as good news to get them in. Then once they're in, we tell them all the stuff they can't do anymore. Okay, that we deliver all the bad news, okay? We give them a bunch of rules to live by. Jesus had a better way. Jesus said, come to me. Spending time with Jesus will transform you. Now, if you try to focus on rules, some people are really good at rules. Some people aren't so good at rules, okay? But if you will spend time with Jesus, you will find that he will transform you, okay? You'll end up following rules that you never even heard of just because you're hanging out with the source. Amen? Amen. So we're going to get ready to pray. I'm going to break us up into groups, I think groups of three. So I'm going to ask each of the folks in the leadership team to sort of, you know, distribute yourselves out so that you're not all clumped together and pick, you know, so set up some groups. Go ahead now, move, find people and gather, and we're going to get ready to pray. Amen? And we're going to, groups of three. And then what we're going to do is we're going to spend this first season of prayer, about 5 minutes. We're just going to spend some time just in a little bit of worship and asking, just sort of reconnecting with the Lord, right? So it's that we're going to, after that, we're going to do some corporate prayer, but first we're just going to spend some time and just focus on the Lord and sort of still yourself and just see if God's saying anything to you. So we're just going to just spend some time just in individual prayer, just sort of listening, letting God just say what he wants to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let me just have your attention once again. Now, we're going to go into our next period of prayer. So stay in the same groups. We're going to go to our next period of prayer. We're going to pray for each other. But I want to share this first. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, Jesus is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, we heard a message on this a few weeks ago. Starting in verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Well, this is a continuation of a passage that begins with, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And I'm going to skip over to verse 5, which says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, Jesus says, don't pray for show. Okay? It's the kind of thing that happens in the kinds of systems that get set up when people decide to run the church for Jesus. We set up a bunch of rules, and then we show off how good we are at the rules, and people pray eloquent theological prayers, you know, and Jesus says, don't do that. You've already gotten your reward. Everyone looks at you and says, boy, they sure can't pray. Now, I encourage folks here at Life Church that pray so that anyone who sees you pray would look at you and say, I can do that. See, a lot of folks in churches, they pray, and after they're finished praying, folks say, I can't do that. You don't want to pray that way. You want to pray in a way that other folks feel like they can't pray because of you prayed and it was so fancy. Okay? So I want you to think differently about prayer. You don't have to pray theological language. You don't have to pray. Just pray plain. God, I need a job. Please help me, if that's the deal. Amen? Lord, my children are driving me crazy, and I'm out of ideas. Amen? Lord, you know, my husband needs help. My wife needs help. You understand? Plain language. I know it's hard for some of us. Okay. Hopefully the fact that this isn't a church building will kind of help you a little bit, right? But plain language, much better. Okay? Don't try to teach when you pray. This is something that some of us who are leaders and teachers, and it happens, and don't turn your prayer into a theological lesson. Okay. Lord, we're just so grateful. We know that when we come to you, you're always there to hear us because your word says blah, blah, blah. You know, sometimes that's appropriate, but usually not. Okay? Just pray what you need. Leave it at that. Amen? Or pray what your brother or sister has asked you to pray for. Amen? Amen? If you want to teach them something, teach them afterwards. Sometimes people need to be taught something, okay? But don't use the prayer to do it, because what happens is then they think that's what you have to do to pray, right? And so they end up thinking they can't pray unless they can teach a lesson when they pray. You don't want to do that. Pray plain, teach afterwards. Amen? Amen. Okay, forgive. How many have ever had somebody do something to them that they didn't like? Amen? Amen. Okay. Now, here's the beauty part of Jesus saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He didn't put any conditions on it. He didn't say, you know, you got to jump through these hoops and follow these rules, et cetera, in order to get to me, right? God's love is freely given. Amen? So he expects us to do the same. In other words, people don't have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops and what have you. If they did something to us, we're the kind of people we forgive. Amen? So if there's something that's bothering you that somebody did, you say, God, I determine, I forgive that person. It doesn't mean you'll forget it right away, but it's I forgive that person. Amen? When you go to God, there's something up, there's an issue, forgive. Amen? Now, what we typically call the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, it's not a ritual. Okay? It's not something that you recite because there's magic in the formula. Amen? It's a pattern. It starts with worship. It's prayers to the Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's your worshiping. You're telling God you recognize who he is. You understand who you're dealing with. Amen? It's good to know who you're dealing with. Amen? You're not just praying to anybody. You're praying to the creator of the universe. You know? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What does that mean? It means I want your kingdom to be established around me. Amen? What's God's kingdom? God's kingdom is wherever God's will is obeyed. I want the kingdom to burst forth where I am. Amen? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many know God's will is being done just fine in heaven? Amen? Right? That's not the trick. There's nothing special for God's will to be done in heaven. What do we want? Where do we want God's will done? On earth. Amen? So we ask, God, I want your will to be done. Now, that's general. You know specifically some ways in which God's will is not being done. In your life, in the life of people you know, right? In your community. So you pray, God, I want your will done in that neighborhood. In Uncle Grapefruit's life. You know, in Sister Lemon Juice's, you know, whatever. Okay. You pray for God's will to be done in the situations that you're aware of. You can't pray for every situation at once, so just take them as they come up. Amen? On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. How many of you are planning to eat sometime today? Amen? How many recognize that it's God who actually provides stuff for you? Amen? So, Lord, I ate yesterday. I'm grateful. I'd like to be able to eat today. Please give me the stuff I need for today. Right? Real simple. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses. Forgive us our sins as we've forgiven our debtors. Lord, I know. How many know that you're probably going to do something wrong today? You're going to blow it at some point or the other, right? Okay? So as you become aware of things that you've done wrong, you ask God to forgive you. Lord, I know I'm going to need forgiveness today. I'm not trying to blow it, but I know that somehow I can manage to blow it. I need forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord. Amen? Now, it's not like a credit card. You're not like, it's not so much you're trying to get advance forgiveness. Lord, I'm planning to mess up, you know, about 3:00. I just want to get the forgiveness request in now. That's not what we're talking about. You know, as you're aware of things you've done that weren't wrong, Jesus, God, please forgive me. Amen? Real simple. As we also have forgiven. We already talked about that, right? If you want forgiveness, you got to give forgiveness. Amen? And lead us not into temptation. That's a big one. Lord, don't lead me into stuff that's going to keep me from temptation. Okay? Because I do much better when there's no, you know, on a good day, all right, I can be around some temptation and I'll just, you know, tough it out because I'm just bad, right? I can, that temptation, take that. I'm better than that. That's on a real good day. But it's better to just not have the temptation, right? Because every day ain't a real good day. and on a not so good day, something that wouldn't bother me, something that I could just, you know, on a good day, I could just, you know, and on a not so good day, you know, I mess up, okay? Right, there you go. 3-layer chocolate cake, yes. We shouldn't be talking about that right now. Because I know where to find one. So it's just better if we don't talk about the 3-layer chocolate cake right now. Thank you, Jesus. Have mercy. Okay. So, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. Okay? Right. It's pretty basic. It's not a ritual. It's a pattern. Amen? Okay. So what we're going to do right now is if you haven't introduced yourselves already, introduce yourselves if you people you don't know. And just take like 30 seconds to really just 30 seconds to share one prayer request. Okay? And just go around, share the prayer request. And then when you've each shared, take time to pray for those requests. And then when you're done, you know, share another one. What you can do is everyone can pray for the request of the person on their right. And that's one way to do it. It's just 3 of you, so I'm pretty sure you can work it out so that everyone gets a chance to pray. Okay? Y'all are grown. All right. Go for it. Hallelujah. And as you're praying, you guys can add prayer for the neighborhoods or communities where you live. And then when you've prayed for those, pray for
the city of Boston, if you're a Boston resident or whatever city you're from. Pray for the mayor, pray for the city council. Work your way up, pray for the governor, the state legislature, the judges, and of course, let's pray for our president, pray for Congress, pray for the federal judiciary. They need our prayer. Amen? So just keep going as you're led. Try to get in some time to pray for the leaders, and then we will wrap up. Hallelujah. Father, we're just grateful for this time when we can come to you and pray. Thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for the time to be with other brothers and sisters. And we ask you to continue to have your way as we move on to the final portions of this Sunday meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.